Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 660 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is December 5th, 2021, and we are a video game podcast short on people today. Just two of us. It's going to be a smaller, more intimate show. But we get together every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the West Coast. Sorry, 9 p.m. in the UK, not in the West Coast. 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone, hanging out with Kim. And speaking of Kim, Kim on the podcast. Howdy.
Howdy, howdy. Yeah, I made it of all the slackers we have on the show. So.
This is true. And we have many slackers on the show this week. it has been a slacker-filled show, I must say. But, you know, that's no fault of ours. It's just the way things are. I'm going to adjust my camera just a skosh. So my head is actually in the camera shot and it's not looking at my boobage. All right.
Damn.
We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. So come hang out and watch the show live. Or if you don't get a chance to watch us live, you can always catch the audio version. We do publish that at some point in time today. And Kim, I should ask you now to record the podcast. I just thought of that.
Okay. Let me hit the button.
Hit the button. If you wouldn't mind.
I'm hitting the button.
Yep. So a little truncated. That's okay. Anyway, so yes, we are on YouTube, on Twitch. We are on audio services like Stitcher, even iTunes. So there you go. We have some birthdays this week. A couple birthdays to speak of. First of all, Daniel Fletcher, the kickboxing extraordinaire. Daniel Fletcher, today 73. It's amazing. 73-year-olds kickboxing.
Holy,
I know.
Wow.
It's crazy. And then we also have a birthday for John Wilson. John Wilson turned 10 today. We normally don't promote minors, but John is, he's a youngin', let's just face it. So John, 10 today. Amazingly though, he has a baby already. We're trying to figure this one out. We're not sure. Yeah, he's a proud papa. Anyway, so happy birthday to the three of you, if there's somebody else out there that has a birthday. I keep forgetting to load up my birthday sound effects. So for that, you get this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, you schmucks. Happy birthday to you. This includes Robin. All right. Enough of that. Enough of that. We're going to do some story time.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Yeah, exactly. All right. It was probably a little low, too. Who knows? But
yeah, no, we've
right. been doing stuff this past week, right? Yeah, maybe a little bit. Stuff, yeah. Kim?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's, of course, now it's no longer Cyber Monday. We now have Cyber Week. So I've been doing a little Christmas shopping, I guess you'd say. I don't know. Is it Christmas shopping if you do it for yourself?
It depends. Are you going to hold off and not give it to yourself until Christmas? Because that would be Christmas
no.
shopping for yourself.
Well, obviously not. No. Why would I do that? Because, well, that would be awful. So I have no willpower. That would never happen.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, but I am buying stuff for me that probably no one else would. So, I mean, you know, whatever.
We can't talk about those toys on this podcast, Kim. That is a completely different kind of show.
Well, you know, yeah, Pete kind of blew it with his cock cages. So I understand.
he really
anyway,
did.
Yeah, so there was a little cyber shopping going on this week. I got me a couple of Witcher shirts after realizing my wardrobe was Witcherless. So we've remedied that situation. I guess other than that, really, I didn't actually buy much else. But, you know, it's not Christmas yet, so, and I'm not totally busted. So we'll see what happens. Other than that, it is a new month. So you know what that means. We have new calendars.
Oh.
So I guess I'll get right to that. Yeah, right.
I was so, on pins and needles, Kim. Literally pins and needles waiting for this moment.
You were. Start with the firefighter, which I have to laugh because my friend Jimmy just realized or just found the Australian firefighter calendar thing last night. She was texting me. She's like, look at these guys. And I'm like, yeah, that's the Australian firefighters. And she's like, how do you know them? I'm like, well, I've only bought their calendar like the last 3 years.
Oh. You are a frequent customer. This is true. We know this.
I am. One of these days I had to get a discount or something. But anyway, we have December and we have Kale and Digit, which, I don't know.
Okay, first of all, the name Kale, I don't like it already because I do not like kale.
Right? What is up with that?
I know.
So anyway, there's that one. And the last month for my Maul cosplay calendar, because unfortunately this year he did not put out a new calendar, so this will be the last year for Maul until further notice. We have Urias from the Shadowverse, which I had to look up because I thought that was some Castlevania thing, but it isn't. It's some card-based mobile game, apparently.
All right.
But anyway, he does a good job.
Right. Urias, yeah. Better than Uranus.
Yeah, so exactly. So other than that, that's pretty much my week. So,
okay.
What about you?
Well, so the week has been an interesting one because it started off a lot of doctor's appointments in dealing with the hospital, which is never a good thing. Right. It started off being quote unquote a good thing because we were actually getting, so Colin had surgery, my son a few months back, I guess it's about a month back now. Where we had a vagal nerve stimulator put into him. And so one of the things about this device is that it actually gets set by the neurosurgeon. So their settings, they can kind of increase the amount of ampage for, I don't know the correct term for it. So we'll just call it that, or wattage, you know, basically the level of the electrical pulse that the device gives. And so we did a little bit of an uptick on that. And it was actually pretty cool to watch because he basically has this like a tablet that's attached to this wand like device that they place over the implant, and it reads the implant, and then it can adjust the implant through the tablet. And so we also are able to tell how many times the device has fired. So it normally fires every 5 minutes on its own, which is that's how it's set up to do it. But it also will fire additional times based on if it thinks, and that's probably the best way to describe it. Like if the device thinks there might be a seizure happening, it'll fire again. And so we found out that it had fired an additional, on top of the 216 times it already fired, it fired an additional 96. So that's telling us that the device definitely is sensing things and working as it should, which is great. So he adjusted the device, and when you do that, when it does its regular pulse, it feels kind of like a tickle in your throat. And so, of course, for our son, it's more annoying to him than anything. So we're dealing with, in part, I think some of that is him getting used to it. So there's been a lot of growling this past week. It also could just be that he might have been a little constipated. We're not positive. But either way, that happened. And then I went in for a follow-up on my foot. And so the good news there is the doctor pretty much was like, we can either keep you in the splints you have on now, or we can give you a walking boot to go with your crutches and, stay off your feet as much as possible. But, you can put your weight on your foot if you need to. So that was awesome. And I opted for the walking boot. So I'm in a walking boot. It's supposedly another 2 weeks or so ish that I'll probably have to be in it, and I'll do a follow-up, and then likely I'll be done. So apparently the fibula heals pretty quickly, and I think that's in large part because the tibia supports so much of the body weight. I said 80% before. Apparently it's 90% of the body weight according to the doctor. So it will heal relatively quickly. So that all happened on Wednesday. And then Friday, we sent our son off to school. I get a call from the school. Your son just had a big seizure. We gave him some of his emergency Diastat medicine. So I was like, okay, great. And of course, anytime they give Diastat medicine, that means we have to go up and get him. And so I had a work meeting that was supposed to be happening within like the next half hour. I'm like, well, I'll try and get up there right after my meeting. That was kind of my thought. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll cancel the work meeting. I'll just go. And as I'm getting out of the shower, they're calling me. He had another seizure. We called 911, and I'm like, oh, okay. So, but as she's talking to me, and she's like, they're loading him into the ambulance right now. I could hear him in the background doing his typical growl sound when he's, So I was kind of like, is he really in a bad state, or is this just being overly precautionary? And the reality is, I think they were just overly precautionary, because we got to the hospital. He was tired from the diastat, which is very normal. But beyond that, it was kind of like he was just being his normal self. So we got released out by, I think, 1:30, all said and done. And so we came home. And it was pretty much the day was just wasted away, being at the hospital for half the day and then having to just kind of sit him up and get him situated. And then that night, he decided to start throwing up. So,
oh, no.
Again, this is one of those things where he had been acting a little nauseous the previous day. Mm-hmm. So, but on top of that, diastat sometimes will make him throw up. He'll have a reaction to it. So I don't know if it was maybe just a bug that, you know, on top of it all kind of set him into his seizure. But needless to say, it was just a long evening. Mm-hmm. And then he's been fine the rest of the weekend. So who knows what the heck was going on? We have set into Christmas decorating. My wife has been decorating the house, and she took on a majority of the exterior decorating as well, since I was laid up with the foot. But of course, now that I'm in the walking boot, I'm kind of like, well, you know, I can help out. And so I was actually able to get some additional lights in the outside hung. And then we spent the morning basically going through and decorating the tree and finishing touches on the house. So we're looking festive. It all looks great. And that's all my wife's doing. Yeah. At the end of the day, I am merely just, I'll help carry boxes. She has the creative touch.
There you go.
So,
I haven't even started that yet. My house just looks boring right now. So
no, not what? When do you typically decorate for Christmas?
I do, but I just haven't got started yet. So it's all buried in my closet. So
is this typical though, that you don't start until now or
yeah, late? I usually wait till like the first or second week in December. So I'll probably get something started this week. So I just haven't decided with the cats in the house if I'm going to brave putting up the actual big tree this year, or if I'm just going to put up a little Charlie Brown style tree, and you know, so that way I'm not finding ornaments across or underneath the couch a month later, because I've had that happen with the cats. So, yeah, nothing says, oh my God, Christmas is over, then moving your furniture and realizing there's a Christmas ornament and you put the tree up like 2 months ago. So, yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
But okay.
I'll get started.
Yeah. All right. Real quickly, before we dive into anything else, anybody in the chat we should be recognizing? I saw Robin lurking within
as
our notes.
Sure.
Okay.
The usual, we have Lord and Boomer, of course. So, yeah, thanks, fellas.
Cheers,
we're already
guys.
Yeah.
I suppose we should be also giving a story update on the rest of the podcast crew. We'll do that in a second. I'll just finish up real quickly my end of the story time, which is I have continued watching Goliath. I absolutely love this show. It has been fantastic so far. So, I am now almost towards the end of season two. And what I kind of like about it is, even though the characters and stuff stay consistent through season to season, each season feels like it's a contained story. Unlike, mm-hmm. say, like a Yellowstone, where it's an ongoing saga, and it never, you know, seems to kind of end. There's no finality to each one. This is different. It's kind of like there's mini seasons or stories within each season. So I like that aspect of it, because I feel like, okay, it wrapped up. I can move on to the next season. There's nothing cliffhanging about it. But it's great so far. Really enjoy it. Highly recommend it. It's not going to be a super fast-paced, action kind of show. This is more about the conversations and the drama between the characters, and how they interact with one another. So, but it's really solid. Cannot recommend high enough. Let's get into the crazy news of the week. So the crazy news of the week was Robin informs us, I want to say it was Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, something like that. We had learned that Judith had come down with the woo flu. And then, Robin informed us, he in fact had tested positive for the China virus. I'm making sure I'm getting all of the correct pronunciations of COVID-19, according to Robin in. Charlie apparently tested positive. However, he had no symptoms. So that's a positive. But it obviously is running its way through the household, unfortunately. Robin looked horrific, but actually that's just his normal state when he doesn't brush his hair. So I don't, you know, he said it's been, it's not been great, but he seems to be in somewhat decent spirits, you know. So, I can report this according to the notes Robin has put in here. We should report this, that he is feeling better. On the advice of Joe Rogan, he took horse dewormer. He is also using a new treatment of light inside of his body to help kill the virus. He said it's
Does that
a bit,
mean he's sitting on a lamp?
That's what I was thinking. I think he was just popping maybe a flashlight up his bum. I don't know. But he said it was a bit like the way bleach works, which, okay. So he's just, you know, UV lighting his entire body. He was spotted shouting, "Hello, my neighbor," from the West Wing balcony while ripping off underwear in defiance. It's reported the neighbor shouted, "Fuck you," in reply. Yeah. So that's the Robin update. And that's lastly, right. Of course, let's go, Brandon. I think he's doing well. I think Robin is on the road to recovery. He looked fine. I saw, the video he posted in our chat. WhatsApp. Obviously, he looks like he has been sick, but again, not the death sentence that the media makes it out to be. Now, obviously, let me take the step back. COVID is dangerous. We know that. We know that from personal experience because we've had some podcast team members and just community members who have lost, loved ones to COVID. So I don't want to be dismissive of that. So apologies if it came off that way. But I think it is important we do keep perspective that the vast majority of people that do get this, are going to be fine. And also importantly to understand that the vaccine is not immunization. And this is proof positive by Robin and Judith both getting it because they actually both had both their shots plus their booster. So, yes, I think the vaccine is helping them deal with COVID better, but obviously, it's not an immunization shot. It's not going to keep you from getting COVID. So you still have to be careful. Just be mindful of what you do. Keep washing your hands. Keep up all the good practices you've been doing. And I think that will be the best course of action you can possibly have. There, I'm off my soapbox. All right, let's talk some video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games.
Kim, I guess I didn't even let you even get a word in edgewise there. Any thoughts on Robin's state of being right now? Did he look as pathetic as I thought on that video?
Oh yes, definitely. But he definitely has a sense of humor back. So, that's a plus. That's definitely
true.
A sign he's feeling better because, he's got his sense of humor back. Because trust me, I just read through the new releases and how much crap he actually changed. So
it's probably going to be troubling. I have a feeling, but, well, let's talk about what we've been playing. I'm not going to worry about trying to do any videos. It's just the two of us. And it's been actually a pretty, okay. I mean, for me, I played next to nothing except for, I did get some Halo Infinite in. I wanted to check out, the updates, which, ironically, I knew the updates were happening for the experience. But since I played, they've actually made another update. So I'll just talk about that real quickly. Last Monday, they had made an update where basically every game you played, you would get 50 experience points. They've since changed that. And now for your first game every day, you get 300 experience points. Your second, third, and fourth games, you get 200 experience points. Or is it 200 for your second, 200 for your third, and then 100 for your fourth? And then I think it's 50 and 50 for your fifth and sixth. But basically, you can get, if you play just six games of Halo Infinite, you'll get 1,000 experience points, which more or less will get you to through a level. So leveling up. So I think that was a big change for the better. And I think a lot of people are appreciating that. I still think they need to have some kind of actual performance metrics towards experience. Because one of the things right now is everything's challenge based. Everything is kind of like doing things gets you experience. You know, get a grenade kill, you get experience. You know, hit somebody from behind, you'll get experience. You know, those kind of challenges. But you don't get rewarded for the number of kills you have, or winning a match, or, you know, or being the top dog, you know, points wise in, on your team for that match. So I feel like those tweaks still need to happen. And maybe that's a bigger challenge to tackle. So they have to build that out, because I feel like that's going to come. But for now, at least they have lessened the steep curve that was, you know, the progression, and they've made it a little bit more attainable to kind of level up and get some of that cool armor stuff that's happening. Anyway, so it continues to go in the right direction, unlike I think every other video game right now that's been released that's a shooter. Battlefield and COD still continue to have their challenges. But yeah, so I was all about Halo Infinite. That was really the only thing I got a chance to play. And then I just literally was binge watching Goliath. I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I want to say Friday night. Holy, yeah, I just was like, okay, one more episode, one more episode. I've got to go to sleep. Yes. What about you, Kim? What's been going on with you?
Yeah, well, you know, not a whole hell of a lot. I am glad to hear they're fixing the progression thing with Halo, because I'm one of those people that don't do well with challenges, you know, obviously. And so, you know, not getting anything for just playing the game just kind of sucks. But anyway, so for me, I woke up Saturday morning early and I played a little Forza Horizon 5 because, I don't know, it was sitting there and I thought, well, you know, I'm only half awake. I haven't had coffee yet. So let's go race a car. So,
well, why not?
So, well, yeah, right. I don't know. It's still Forza. It's real good. It's nice to look at. The cars are neat and all that. But for me, it's still, you know, it's Forza Horizon. It's not real. I guess for me, it's not earth shattering or anything like that. And I'm a really sucky driver, but it's fun to go off road, even in a fucking, you know, Corvette Stingray. You know, you go off road, smack trees with it, because that's stuff you wouldn't do in real life, at least not intentionally, I hope. So
at least you own up to it.
Well, right. You know, I mean, it's different because I used to play driving games way back when, but I'm used to Need for Speed, where you have one car and after a while you get used to that one car. So you kind of know the ins and outs of it and you get really good with it. But with Forza Horizon, you know, you've got a whole variety of cars. So unless you stick with one car and play it the entire game, you know, you get in and out of new cars all the time. So it's kind of hard to, at least for me, it's hard to get everything down to where, you know, you can corner with it real well and all that. I played a race with a bunch of the others, like, I don't know, drivatars, whatever you want to call them. And I kid you not, if I didn't bang into every corner trying to go around it, because some of those little towns, it's all just, you know, little short stops and then there's a corner and then you go around and then there's another corner. I mean, you can't get speed up real well. And yeah, I was in the corner more often than not, but yet I managed to still win. So
yeah,
apparently I'm not the only one that's really bad.
So, you know, I used to always think, oh, you know, because the towns aspect of Forza Horizon games is awesome on one hand, frustrating a little bit on the other hand. I totally get what you're saying. It's like you're even when you're just cruising through some of these town areas, you catch a fence post that, you know, some stuff is destructible and you can blast right through it. But then, you know, every once in a while you have the odd object that you can't blast through. And I remember like park benches were like made of, like reinforced steel apparently.
But you know, can take out a street lamp with no problem,
right?
So it's like,
right,
how does that work?
I think, you know, part of me is like, and also it is odd to me that there's nobody in these towns. It's devoid of any human being. Probably for the best though, because I'm pretty sure it would become like GTA where you're just gunning for every possible person on the street. But I guess the question is, I know it's not, you know, totally up your alley, but is this a game that you foresee yourself continuing to play, or?
Oh, yeah, because I like discovering, like, new roads and the little, speed trap camera, like, trying to see how fast you can go and that sort of thing. So that's kind of fun. And just, you know, playing with everybody else and just seeing if, you know, if you can go faster than, say, Mark or Robin or you know, whatever. It's kind of nice to see that flash up on the screen that you just beat Mark. And it's like, hey, you know. So I think I can stick with it.
I think you need to talk about this further. Every time you beat Mark, just like post it. That will drive him crazy. Yes.
And I mean, it being on Game Pass and it's free. So, I mean, what the hell? Why not?
No, totally agree. And, one thing that does, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I feel like the leaderboards are a little difficult to get to in this game. And it drives me a little bit nuts because there's times where I get to up to a challenge and I'm like, okay, I want to check out what the leaderboards are, who I'm targeting, whatever. And trying to get to that is just next to impossible sometimes.
Right. Well, you say that, there's Saturday morning. I was just trying to find the map because when you first booted it up, that sounds hilarious, right? But they showed you where your cars were at and this, that, and the other. Well, I'm trying to flip through the screens, just trying to find the map so I can pick a race or, you know, whatever to go drive to. And I had a hell of a time just trying to find the fucking map to find out what I could do next. So, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, I didn't have any coffee, so maybe that was part of it.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
But
it does make me kind of want a proper Forza game. As much as I love kind of the openness of Forza Horizon, I do also just want to like have that structure and the leaderboards and just the competitive side of it to you know, and I hope with Forza, the next proper Forza, that it's, you know, the racing aspect of course is there, the sim part of it, but I would love to see them kind of incorporate in some kind of like challenges as well. So borrow a little bit from Forza Horizon. Make fastest lap challenges, things like that, which by the nature of the game, it will be there, but I want it to be part of like the campaign. So, you know, it's, yes, you compete in all of these races as part of your career, but then you have the odd, just challenges that will come up that just kind of break up that aspect. I think that would be the perfect game for me. Mostly because I'm not the biggest open world game fan. I play a lot of them, but I don't like just the, you can go anywhere, do anything, anytime, anywhere. I do long for some of that structured linear path stuff. So, but hey,
there are people out there that are like that. And I understand that because, you know, sometimes when they give you an open world game like that and you can do anything, sometimes that's a little bit of an overload because in some respects you kind of want, I don't know if I necessarily say hand holding necessarily, but you kind of want that, like you said, that pathway. So, you know, point A to point B and you're not just, well, kind of like I did with Red Dead several times, just roaming the freaking desert, you know, doing almost absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and you look up and you've been at it for 3 hours and what have you accomplished? Well, I got from here to here and I saw this and, you know, that was it. You know, I killed deer and, you know, chased a rabbit, whatever, yada, yada. So, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And Red Dead's a great example. That's a game where you just get so lost so quickly. But I do feel like Red Dead at least did a decent job of indicating where the kind of campaign missions were to get the story progressed.
Yep.
There's a couple times where it kind of gets a little bit ambiguous because I want to say they give you multiple campaign missions that you can go after. And you can do them in whatever order you want, but there's just, you know, it does have a little bit of that divergence. But Forza Horizon for me is just, I mean, it's impossible to find the campaign stuff of like, this is actually part of the quote unquote campaign. I just feel like the campaign is just everything. And that's a bit much for me.
But
again, maybe I'm just complaining to complain. I will definitely get a campaign mission based game in this upcoming week. So I'm excited for that. We'll talk about that.
Gotcha. You want to know the other game I was playing?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do.
Last night, I don't know, about 8 o'clock, Dad was asleep and I'm like, I don't think I'll slip off and go play a little Xbox. And I got a hold of Boomer and asked what he was doing. He wasn't doing anything. And I said, well, you know, I need to finish the campaign for Gears 4. So that's what we did last night. And it's hilarious. We, like I said, we started like at 8 and we did not get done until midnight. So it's amazing to me. You'll be sitting there and I looked at my watch at one point and I went, holy shit, it's 11:30 already. What happened?
I can't imagine playing a game from 8 to midnight unless it's like Extra Life. That's about the only time I get that stretch of gaming now these days. So you finished Gears 4?
I did. I finished the campaign for Gears 4, and I think next we're going to see about maybe Hive Busters, because we haven't done that one yet. So, yes,
highly recommend. Yeah. I'm very curious to see what you think of Hive Busters. Now that I planted the seed, you're probably going to hate it. But Gears 4, let's talk about that real quickly. Anything jump out at you? I mean,
well, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I knew Baird was back because obviously I played 5. So it was good seeing Baird and seeing Sam. The two big mechs towards the end, those were fun.
Yeah.
I think they need to do more with those. Or either that or just make a game where it's like Titanfall.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that.
All right. And you know, killing, I don't know, this is probably... spoiler, whatever, the game's been out for years if you haven't played it by now.
Exactly.
So the mechs and the Swarmac at the end and putting the execution on the Swarmac, that shit was cool. So it gave us a little, of course, like I said, I played these backwards, but you got a little more story on Kat and Kate and all the stuff she went through and her mom and all that stuff. And
right,
yeah, you know, it because when I started, like when I started 5, I wasn't real sure if I gave a shit about JD and Kate and all those, because I didn't really know much about them because I never played 4. But then after playing 5 and then playing 4, I'm kind of developing that little thing like we got with and Dom and all those. So it's neat to dive back into the story and see stuff like that. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I recommend it. I don't necessarily recommend you do like I do and play 5 and then 4. You know, you're better off if you just start out with 4 and then go to 5, but whatever. So...
Well, yeah, it is recommended you play these games in order. Yeah, I would just like to say that. Also, you know, and maybe that's a great segue real quickly to talk about Halo Infinite coming up. If you're not familiar with the story of Halo and you're going to jump into Halo Infinite, my recommendation, and I know a lot of gamers cringe when I say this, but don't try and go back through and play all the campaigns, because the likelihood of you finishing all the campaigns before you get to Halo Infinite is slim to none. There are some great recap videos of the Halo storyline that will take you from Halo, Combat Evolved, and they do it in the proper story timeline, and they lay it all out all the way up to Infinite. And it's a great way to get all of the backstory, get the nuance of the Halo overall storyline. And I think it's a smarter, better way, because there's a lot of cutscenes that they stitch together. So it plays out like a movie, much like many Sony games I've watched. Just kidding. But the reality is, yes, when you have games that have a lot of cutscenes and they're storytelling within the cutscenes, I love those recap videos. You know, walk me back through the story. Let me just kind of watch it like a movie. So I plan to do that again, just to get that refresher in, even though I've probably watched it already a couple different times. But there's some good ones out there for sure. So do it. That's my big recommendation to anybody that's going to play Halo Infinite and you're not familiar with the storyline. Just go watch one of those recap videos on YouTube. It'll get you primed and understanding some of the actual backstory to Halo Infinite and what certain characters mean and why they're important. I know, like, oftentimes people are like, Dr. Halsey, who cares about her, blah, blah, blah. She's actually a very key, important figure in the Halo universe overall. Anyway. All right.
One more thing.
Yes.
Fun fact, in my playing of Gears 4, did you know, because I did not, that Kate's uncle Oscar was played by Jimmy Smits?
I did not know he was played by Jimmy Smits.
I didn't either. I was reading the credits last night and his name popped up next to Oscar's and I thought, holy shit, is that the same Jimmy Smits from NYPD Blue, Old Line Yards? And then it is. So, yeah.
That's a name I have not seen actually in anything entertainment related in forever. So,
last thing I saw him in was Sons of Anarchy, and I think he had some lawyer show that lasted like 3 episodes, and then they canceled it. So,
all right,
and that was a couple of years ago. Yeah. So anyway, fun fact: Jimmy Smits was in Gears. Makes me like him even more.
There we go.
Anyway, I'm done now.
Okay, last question for you. This is actually. not last question, because I'm going to have many more questions for you, Kim. But this is just a kind of a question overall, kind of reflecting on the year so far. Right. You know, we're short a number of people, so we wanted to kind of think about what we could talk about, what games we could kind of point to that we just maybe... they may not be our games of the year or make our list. They probably will, mind you. But, you know, what game do you think back in the wake of 2021 and you think, that was probably my favorite game to have played this year?
Now I got to think back to all the games I played this year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can help out. So, so I have two that they're actually pretty far back in my timeline. Now, one is technically, I think it was actually released last year, so it's not necessarily new, but I think I finished it up this year, and that is Wasteland 3. Although I have a bunch of the DLC now that I've bought and I still have yet to touch. I bought it for Extra Life, and I never even played it yet. But that's a game I just thoroughly enjoyed. Turn-based, tactical, squad-based, squad shooter. So, it's right up my XCOM, thirst. But I very much enjoyed that game. But the game I think that it doesn't get enough talk right now. I feel like in the gaming community in general, but I honestly feel like it could be and should be in the consideration for game of the year was Hitman 3. That was a game that came out at the very beginning of the year. I think it launched late January, if I remember correctly. Just a great game. Yes, it was some of the same formula from previous Hitmans, but they did so much to really improve the performance and also kind of how some of these quests could be carried out. And I still remember the one story mission or mission that you go on where you could, in a sense, become a detective solving a murder mystery within your mission, overarching mission. And that was just so much fun. And so I think back to that game and I'm like, I really loved Hitman 3. But I know it was highly praised by a lot of media outlets, but it does feel like it's kind of fallen off the radar because it was so early in the year. And that's a shame because I think those games that did get released early in the year, Returnal's another one I think about that's kind of been lost in the shuffle a little bit because it did release out so early in the year. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the game of the year discussions for different outlets. Obviously we know what games are up for game of the year, in the Game Awards ceremony coming up with the VGAs. But, those are two for me that kind of stood out as just really gave me enjoyment, maybe just kind of a little bit forgotten by me, even by myself. So what about you, Kim? What has kind of stood out for you in 2021?
Well, there was Kingdoms Amalur, because I played a shitload of that. And, I didn't play it originally when it came out much, and it kind of got put by the way, probably because of Skyrim. I can't remember now what else came out, but it's something that pushed it off my radar and I never got back to it. And I started it again, I think it was this year, either late last year, early this year, and I finished it this year. And I really enjoyed it. That and last
this
is, DLC.
This was the remastered one, right? For the yes, next gens?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I really liked it. Now, I don't know. I think I got to a point where I kind of got tired of it. I never did finish one of the DLCs, but eventually I can go back to it or I won't. I don't know. They'll have a new DLC.
Isn't there a new DLC? Yeah. Isn't there a new DLC coming?
Yeah. Okay. What is it? Forsworn or Forsaken or Fatesworn. Fatesworn.
Okay.
It'll be out the 10th or the 14th, something like that. I can't remember which date exactly. But for a game that they remastered and is several years old, it was really good. So, and another one that kind of got me in the feels was Arise, a simple story about the old Viking that died, and he goes back through his life, and then eventually he makes it to I don't know if you want to call it Valhalla or what necessarily, and he finds his wife. So that was a little bit of a tearjerker. So those were nice. I don't know if they're gonna be game of the year necessarily for me, but they are definitely two games that kind of stuck out.
Okay.
But for me this year, game of the year is going to be kind of difficult. I haven't played a whole hell of a lot.
It's been, well, I think it's been a year that there there's been a lot of more indie titles out. There haven't been a lot of big AAA titles.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, I think there's some games that really disappointed. You know, I think back to games that I absolutely loved. The Ascent is another one. I'm still actually playing through that. But absolutely, mm-hmm. that is one of my favorites from this past year. But a disappointment right. one, and worth, you know, kind of maybe talk about the other side of this, the disappointing titles. 12 Minutes for me was a big disappointment.
See, I have that one downloaded. And I haven't played it yet. So I was curious.
And I say disappointment. I love the idea of 12 Minutes. And mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the story, the voice acting is all well done. Mm-hmm. But what frustrated me was the control scheme. I felt like I was fighting, playing the game to play the game. And right. that's never fun. So
no.
My guess is 12 Minutes probably plays even better on PC because you mouse and keyboard are going to make it infinitely easier to quickly highlight things because 12 Minutes is all about, it's a point and click adventure in a lot of ways. It's dynamic in terms of what you can do and how you interact, but mm-hmm. you're clicking on areas to go and investigate or go and interact with things. And so mm-hmm. on a gamepad, that's just not as easy to do than, say, a mouse. And so right. I just feel like this is a game probably best suited to play on mouse and keyboard. And maybe if I replay it or pick it back up, I'll just hook up a mouse keyboard and go that direction. Maybe I'll enjoy it better.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it is, it's very cool in that you're experimenting over and over again. So mm-hmm. differently though from Hades, right? Hades is,
right.
you know, you're going as far as you can and you die and you start all over again. But you keep some of your progression within Hades.
Right.
Here with 12 minutes, it literally is Groundhog Day. You start from ground zero all over again and you have to retrace your steps trying to do certain things. So that can be a little bit frustrating. But the discovery aspect of it is kind of cool because you'll find certain things that you kind of missed before and you're like, oh wait, okay, now what can I do with this? You know?
Right.
And so, you know, I certainly don't want to spoil anything because the experimentation of that game is part of the big gameplay loop. It is mm-hmm. finding those little things that you can do and you can interact and you can combine things to get things to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's certain actions I kept trying to do because in my head, naturally, this is mm-hmm. the right thing to do. But it is absolutely the wrong thing to do in the game. And I'm being very vague about it because, again, I know you're going to play it. And I'm sure other people still haven't played it yet. So I don't want to spoil that right. part of it. This game is not about action. And I will just put that there and leave that there. So any kind of... you know, decisions you're making about taking action probably mm-hmm. are going to be the wrong ones, so to speak. So, but yeah, that was a disappointment, and it really was because of the control scheme. It just, I felt like I was always kind of fighting, controlling mm-hmm. things, and you feel that time crunch because it's 12 minutes. So,
right.
you're trying to do things as quickly as you can, and you know, gamepad's just not going to be as fast as mouse and keyboard. So. Right. Any disappointments for you?
Oh, so many. No.
not personal.
No, not really. Although, like I said, 12 minutes talking about that one. I wonder about that one because it was all up in everybody's radar, and it seemed like it came out, and then some other people were talking about it, and then boom, you'd like heard nothing more about it. So I wonder if maybe other people didn't run into the same thing you did, and maybe it put them off because it seems like, you know, it came out, and everybody was excited, and then nothing.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it had William Dafoe as a voice actor within it. Right. I mean, I think that was maybe one of my more disappointments because William Dafoe is not the main character. So it's like, right. Okay. But I think the mechanics of playing the game definitely did turn off a lot of people.
Right. All right. Disappointments. I don't know. I think the only disappointment maybe I had this year.
Wait, let me guess. Robin Tate.
Okay. Yep, that's it. You got
okay,
it.
Okay.
Bingo. Yeah,
done.
Yeah, right. No, I think it was just not having a lot of time to game. because there wasn't really one game that stood out that I'm like, oh, all right, I didn't really like it, because I haven't played a lot. I mean, so it's kind of hard to say, well, that one sucked, because
I can
played a lot.
Yeah, I guess I can join you in that camp. It's funny because I was the way this year has gone, my gaming time has been pretty limited and very spotty.
Right.
But man, I was so looking forward to Extra Life.
Right.
I was just like, finally, I will get a big block of gaming in, and that was definitely enjoyable. Yeah. You're looking forward to Extra Life when you, and you need Extra Life, because I finished Extra Life and pretty much had no problem staying awake up until maybe that last hour. That last hour,
yep.
I pittered a little bit. I was like, okay, this is getting pretty much, I'm at the end. But anyway. All right.
It's been nice because I've got back into co-op gaming, because like I said, me and Boomer have been playing Gears, and that's been kind of nice. I'm hoping next year with, no kids underfoot, because I'm not going back into their bucket.
Do you want mine? We will ship Colin to you at this point. We're happy to give him up.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, if it was up to my sister, I'd be watching Owen right about now, but right. I keep telling her no, so... But and like you said, Hades was another good one this year that I didn't expect to like, and I really enjoy it, because like you said, even though you die and you start over, it gives you an incentive to want to start over and see how far you can go.
It didn't feel punishing. I guess that's probably the best way to put it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. No, I actually enjoyed getting my ass kicked and having to start over, which for me is just not something I'm usually into, but.
That's not what I've heard, Kim.
No, that's what it is. But like I said, hopefully next year more gaming time would be nice. More co-op would be great. So, if y'all want to play something and I've got it, let me know. Even Halo.
All right. Kim, before we...
I think I'm frozen.
Yeah, I know. You did get frozen. It's okay, though.
Uh-oh.
You're still on the podcast.
Or Greg's frozen. I'm not sure.
Well, we're both frozen. Can you hear me now? Maybe. No? Yes? Well, we're going to continue on. I will just keep talking since I'm pretty sure we're still live on my end. All right. We do have Games for Gold coming out right now. And so I'm just going to stop the call with Kim. I'm not going to worry about that. We'll kill Skype and we'll just continue on and deal with everything as is. So we have... In December, The Escapist 2, available the December 1st through the 31st. You've got Tropico 5, the penultimate edition, that will be available December 16th through January 15th. We have Orcs Must Die, that's going to be available the December 1st through the 15th. And then, of course, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet will be available December 16th to the 31st. And I'm still trying to, on the back end, fix all of this, by the way, everybody. So hang tight. We then have, on the PS Plus, you've got Godfall coming out, Mortal Shell also out, and then Lego DC Super Villains also out. I see you, Aaron, that you were in. Hang on, Kim.
Yay! All right.
I was just getting into the games with gold. I actually got through PlayStation Plus. I'm assuming the stream has kept going. My camera now is all jacked up, but that's okay. We will just we'll power through this. Let me resize your image. So at least we'll have your face on the screen. Why don't we pick up at Twitch Games, Kim? Twitch Games.
Alrighty, Twitch Games. Let's scroll back up to Twitch Games. I was too busy twitching and playing. No. I'm going to go get it. Twitch. Here we go. Twitch. We have, Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit. We have Frostpunk, which I think I have that one. I don't think I got very far in it, though. Journey to the Savage Planet. Football Manager 2021. Morphred, which I think was on Game Pass a little bit ago. Spellcaster University. YouTuber's Life. Do we really need a video game about that? Really? Okay. Stubbs the Zombie and Tales of Monkey Island, the complete pack.
Tales of Monkey Island, the complete pack. Have you ever played a Tales game? Out of curiosity?
I've started it, and I don't know. I think it was just the old school 8-bit graphics, and I kind of just stopped because I've got it on, I don't know, PlayStation maybe.
Okay.
So, but everybody says they're hilarious and everything, and they're by the same guy that did Death Spank and some of the other stuff. So I know it's hilarious. I just couldn't get past the old school of it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. I find the humor of the Tales of Monkey Island games not to be that funny. I don't know. And maybe that's just me. It's just maybe not my kind of humor. So there's that. Robin was like, pull me in. Put me on voice. I'll jump in. It's okay, Robin. I think we're good.
We got it.
We appreciate the heroics from the dead. But look, you're among the dead right now, Robin. It's okay. You're part of the Walking Dead crew.
And be honest, show up in your underwear. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah. We know he's in his underwear. That's why he wanted the audio only, for the record.
Right? Exactly.
He knew.
Anyway, Stadia Pro for the
is
month.
Is this still a thing? Can we just real quickly, Stadia Pro, is it really a thing?
Well, they seem to think so because they hate putting games out for it. So.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. We have Transformers Battlegrounds, Wreckfest, Destroy All Humans, The Falconeer Warrior Edition, and Foreclosed, which is apparently a game about having your house foreclosed or something, I guess. I'm not really sure why we need a game about that, but whatever. Whatever. Epic Game Store, which is available until the 9th. We have Wild True, Learn, whatever, and Dead by Daylight. So
Dead by Daylight?
Or the week, as it were. So
I'm still messing with my camera trying to get it to pop up on me, but it's not going to pop on me. So forget it. Who cares? We don't need no stinking cameras.
Right?
All right. We do have some news. Let's talk about the news.
We'll do that.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So leading the charge on the news, you know, we've all been talking about Game Pass and there's a lot of love for Game Pass. It is, you know, the Netflix of gaming, so to speak. And there hasn't really been a challenger to this as of yet. However, there was a leak from sources that said Sony is creating a service called codenamed Spartacus. This is I pulled all of this off the Joystick website, so I think it was reported by somebody else, but I got it from Joystick. Anyway, basically, it will be available on PS4 and PS5 for a monthly fee. They are considering different tiers of access for it. And right now, it's really kind of unclear whether players would be able to access it on other devices. Sony has been putting more resources into cloud gaming. But right now, like PS Now, you can access through your PC and play on PC. So could this then be a service that would be available on PC as well? There's no, you know, we don't know kind of what games are really what will be available in the service other than they're working on it. The speculation is it would be tiers of like PS1 and PS2 games as well as the PlayStation Now service itself. Still no probably day and date release games. So all of Sony's first party will still stay off the service, at least for a period of time. But, you know, we did see this past year that they started putting some of their first party games into PS Now, albeit, you know, like a year later. But maybe that's the direction they take this. They've got a ton of games that they can pull into from a back catalog perspective. I do wonder if they'll be able to get the PS3 games in there. That's the big question mark, because right. That's something that they haven't really had the ability to. Even I think within PS Now, it's not there. So we'll see. We will see what pans out with this. Supposedly, it will be available come spring, summertime next year. So we'll definitely hear more about it soon. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for highlighting that, Kim. Yes, according to sources closely related to Robin Tate, all staff have been mandated to eat more greens so cloud farting can be achieved. Absolutely, that is right. Truth. Activision is out of the Game Awards, Kim. Does this surprise you? Does it shock you?
No, not really. No, I'm kind of surprised it took them this long to actually pipe up and say something, because considering from when this all started, there's been a lot of people right from the get-go that have been like, nope, they're not, you know, they're not going to have anything to do with them, yada, 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 condemning them and the whole nine yards. And, you know, here we are. The Game Awards are about here, and he's just now saying, oh, yeah, by the way. You know?
Right.
Which, whatever. I mean, you know, that's not really my high horse to get up on or anything. But, no, I'm not surprised. There's enough bad press out there about Blizzard and Activision that, yeah, I don't think anybody wants to touch them with a 10-foot pole.
Well, it is a bit surprising to me, and I totally agree with you, mind you. You know that they are a hot button right now, and that there's been a lot of negativity around Activision. But right. Just this past week, midweek, Jeff Keighley had put out a tweet basically saying, you know, we are still, you know, I forgot exactly how he put it, but the notion was basically that we're still undecided on how we're going to handle Activision. You know, if we'll take any action, which honestly, it was kind of like, to me, it struck me as a comment of, well, they've paid a lot of money already to be part of the Video Game Awards, so we don't really want to do anything to piss them off. But I think there was enough backlash towards that comment, even of just being like, really, come on. You know, then, they now have come forward with this announcement saying, you know, from Jeff Keighley saying, they would not have a role in the show outside of the nominations chosen by influencers and media. And then he said, there's no place for abuse or harassment anywhere, per Keighley, which obviously we all agree with.
Yep.
But it was kind of funny that the first comment was, well, we're not sure. And then it was like, oh, no. We, you know, we're not doing anything with them other than, you know, kind of what's already been nominated.
Right. And so, I totally get that, because there's been a lot of hardworking people that have no connection to the harassment that's been going on that have put, you know, worked on these games. So I agree that they deserve some sort of recognition there. You know, so it's kind of a double-edged sword sort of thing, because it's like you want to recognize the people that had nothing to do with the harassment, but you don't want to recognize the assholes. So
yeah. Well, you know, and Bobby Kotick's still in power at Activision.
Right.
He has been getting a lot of pressure. I thought it was funny. I guess he released a statement saying, you know, I will. I guess the statement was basically, I will be willing to step down if I can't correct this.
Right.
Well, dude, you've been part of the problem. How is it you're going to fix it when you're actually part of the problem?
Right.
So I think it's going to take another few months of bad trends on their stock, which I guess Activision has not been performing well of late. So investors, that's when investors get upset. Not when you do something actually publicly bad, but when it publicly impacts their investment. So we'll see if he keeps his job and sticks around. I just think Activision needs just make a wholesale change out, and that will be right. The best thing for that company.
Yep.
Speaking of bad companies, EA and Battlefield, bad company, the best EA Battlefield game ever made. So EA basically said they want to create a connected universe for Battlefield. Unlike what Robin tried to tell me, which was it was a cunted universe. But they want to put more resources into the series and basically create a structure of studios that support this vision, even despite the lukewarm reception of Battlefield 2042 right now. So... Right. I mean, they're all in on this. They want to, you know, create a bigger universe. I hate this idea.
Right. Yeah.
Because all we're going to get from EA is going to be Battlefield this, Battlefield that, you know, Battlefield kart racing. That's what I hear when I hear this. Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they're looking at the formula of what, you know, Call of Duty has done, which Call of Duty milks it every year. It's been super successful, so why not milk Battlefield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Not a fan. And this Battlefield mobile thing, I'm just like, But
well, you know, maybe it's better than the actual game. I don't know. No, I doubt
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can't say anything there because I haven't even fired it up yet, and I bought it at launch. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, did you buy this game?
Yeah, I did, and I haven't played it yet. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I, 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 I hate the notion of EA trying to funnel so much resources into this instead of just saying, hey, Battlefield will be one of our games, but we're going to go create more new IP. We're going to still continue to invest in creating new IP and new stories outside of Battlefield. Because now I feel like it's EA is just going to be Battlefield and, you know, and as much as I like Battlefield, I don't think that's a recipe for success.
I don't want to milk it to death. And then it's going to be like me with Call of Duty now. And it's like, you know, Call of Duty's, you know, 3001, the Space Odyssey. Like, no,
I would actually play that one. I've been pretty much over Call of Duty for 3 years now. One of my good friends trying to get me to buy Call of Duty this year. And I'm just like, no, you know, it's, I am tired of just, there's nothing fresh about Call of Duty right now. And I think a big part of that is because they just haven't taken any time away. Give us time to miss these games. So that's, you know, to Sony's credit, Sony does a really good job of pacing their games. You know, their sequels aren't every year or even every other year. They come out and, you know, maybe 3 years. Spider-Man, I think, is probably the lone exception recently. But there's enough time between the good releases to, you know, to miss them and want more of it. And it feels just, you know, in terms of the pacing, it feels good. Whereas, I mean, Call of Duty, it's just like ad nauseum. I mean, I remember thinking this year, I'm like, why haven't we not heard about the new Call of Duty game yet? You know what's coming. And sure enough, you know, it came. It just, they made the announcement late in the year. But it absolutely feels like a very bad retread of just everything they've done in previous games. And I laugh even more when I think about how they tried to introduce modern attachments into a World War II shooter, where these things did not exist at all. So, anyway, okay, I'm off my soapbox. Kim, what new releases are coming out in...
All right, but one more thing before that.
Okay, yes, sorry.
Battlefield, the new Battlefield.
Yes.
My theory on that is I think they tried to change it up too much, and I think they need to do it like they did 4 and just fix it. You know, instead of, you know, rolling out 3,000 Battlefield variations that probably no one will play, or at least, you know, won't want to play, whatever, they need to just fix the one they've got. Because I remember when 4 came out and everybody bashed it, they hated it, and yes, it was glitchy and it was kind of terrible, but I know me and Boomer and Mike, we all played it, and it was fine. But eventually they rolled out fixes for it, and it was great. And I mean, it ranked right up there with 3, and we all love 3.
Right.
So I think they just need to just fix it. I mean, I think they need to change some of the things. I guess, like I said, I haven't played a lot of it. I played a couple of games. But I think from the sound of things, they changed, like, when the game ends and they usually show everybody and where you've ranked and all that. They've changed some of that stuff, and they don't like it. And I think maybe they need to roll some of the stuff back. And I know they're trying to be new and innovative and all that shit, but sometimes you don't want new and innovative. You want what's comfortable. And that's
You're basically making the case for Call of Duty, for the record. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying. But I don't want to see them, like you said, like Call of Duty. I don't want them to put a new one out every year or some weird variation of it and just milk it to death. And then, because then no one's going to want to play it.
So,
well, I guess I can't say that either, because there are still people out there that play Call of Duty. So,
did you play the beta, out of curiosity?
I did.
Okay.
And I didn't have any problems. Like, there were other people that were saying that, you know, they had so many issues with it. I never had any issues with it other than trying to figure out what that was. It a revive tool or whatever the fuck that weird little thing was. I never did figure out how exactly to make it work. But, you know.
Let me ask you this question.
All right.
Do you think they have too many players? So, you know, they have these 128. It feels just almost like it's too chaotic.
I agree with her. Yeah. I like the smaller amount of people, the smaller battles, a lot better than just throwing a bunch of people in there willy-nilly and you know, have at it. You know, I don't particularly care for that. So
I kind of wonder if 24 aside might be the right number, because it's big enough to feel pretty grandiose, but it's not too big to where your individual actions feel like they're not going to impact the outcome. And I guess that's my big issue with 120 players. It's just like, well, whatever I do within this scope of this war, individually, my contribution is probably next to nothing.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, now I'm going to ask you to talk about new releases.
All righty, I can do that.
Okay.
All right, your new releases for this week, which is the 5th through the 11th, are Final Fantasy 14, Endwalker. My God, there's so many Final Fantasy games, it's ridiculous. And I've never played a one of them. For the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, PC, and Mac on December 7th. Gang Beasts for the Switch on December 7th as well. Heavenly, well, boobies is what Robin has put, but it's bodies. For the PlayStation, which I guess, whatever.
I do like that he gave you the correction. He gave you his version, and then he gave you the right version.
Right. So yeah, Heavenly Bodies for the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC on December 7th. Life is Strange True Colors is out for the Switch on the 7th as well. We have Spellforce 3 Reforced. Sorry. For the place. That is such a weird title.
That's
and
a,
I don't
that's a horrible that. Title. Just, absolutely
yeah,
horrible
Spellforce
title.
Spellforce 3 Reforced. Okay, whatever. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 7th as well. White Shadows. I can't speak.
Really. Have you been drinking, Kim?
I wish. If I hadn't been, this probably wouldn't be a problem. White Shadows for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on the 7th. Halo Infinite, which I know, you know, there's a few people looking forward to that one. For the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC on the 8th. Loop Hero for the Switch on December 9th. Monster Adventure 1 and 2 DX for the Switch, PC, and iOS on December 9th. When I see that like DX thing, I always think it's like some sort of wrapper or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I'm with you.
And then last but not least, we have Witchwood for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 9th as well. And those are your new releases.
All right. For the record, Heavenly Boobies, better game than Bodies. Just saying.
Right.
And all Halo right. Infinite. So they've rolled out the multiplayer, obviously, early. Technically, it's right. been beta. So I guess this will be the official launch of the real multiplayer, on top of which they're launching the campaign. So right. if you have bought the $60 campaign, you'll get that this upcoming week. Or if you have Game Pass, of course, you get it as is. So
right.
Also, you know, something I forgot to mention with the Halo update and fix to the progression stuff. They did also announce that Game Pass members would get some cosmetic stuff as part of Game Pass subscription, which is kind of nice because you do kind of figure this is a free to play game that's been launched out there. So if, you know, I'm a Game Pass member, maybe I should get a little bit of a perk as opposed to the guy on PC who's already cheating and you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So there's that. Okay. We literally have no victories achieved. This is a sad, sad state. And I think we're going to have to really think about if we keep victories achieved moving forward into the new year, because I think a lot of people have just fallen off of it. And it saddens me to say that, because this is, of course, it's just a contest that we developed to really reward the community for completing games. You know, we just said, you know, throw it up there on Twitter or on Facebook and put a hashtag victory achieved in it. But it's been a weird year. 2021 has been a very weird year, all said and done. And right. I think just a lot of people are not necessarily completing a lot of games. Also, of course, the number of games that have come out this past year have been a little off. And so anyway, we'll rethink some kind of competition thing for the coming years, because we do love engaging the community. But as it is right now, it's wrapping up end of the year and... The list is dwindling down. But hey, if you want to win, you still have an opportunity. So right. get them in there. If you complete a game, tweet us, message us. We'll get it on the show. Just let us know victory achieved and what game you played. And we do preferably get your headshot in there with the game in the background. It's always kind of nice to put a face to the name. And we'll put you in line to win 20 space bucks on Xbox Live, on PSN, or on Steam. We've even done Nintendo Virtual Bucks before, so it can happen, even though we don't like Nintendo. Just kidding. We love Nintendo. All right. It's a short show this week, Kim. Even shorter by the fact that we had the virtual snafu of internet connections.
Right.
And of course, my camera deciding to crap out, which... It is the OBS conflict with Skype, apparently. Yeah. So once we had to kill the Skype call and re-engage, now OBS and Skype don't want to talk at all. And my camera's like, oh, I'm not doing nothing. Anyway.
Not my fault.
Yeah. We will be back, though. We'll be back next weekend. Some fashion or another. It'll be maybe you, maybe me, maybe COVID boy, maybe the bearded one. Maybe the balded one, possibly the quiet one, which is Mark, because I haven't heard from him in a little bit. So, Mark, if you do hear this, by the way, Mark, give us a shout out. Come on. And this goes to anybody in the community. If you need a person to talk to, by all means, make it Robin Tate. Don't bother us with your problems, but contact Robin. He is more than happy to field all of your issues. Just kidding. We are there for all of you. Kim, give us a shout out. Also the chat, if they're still around.
Yeah, I believe Boomer's still there, and I believe Lord is. So thanks, fellas, for showing up and keeping me company in the chat and for putting up with my gerbil dying. So, and I guess I should preface that by saying my internet gerbil. I don't actually have a gerbil. So, yeah, thanks for coming along this weekend and keeping us busy in the chat. We appreciate it. It makes my, I won't say it makes my job more enjoyable, but it's another part to my job that makes me happy. So,
yes.
There you go.
That job that you make thousands of dollars.
Right, right.
Yeah, we'll send a check someday, Kim.
I wait for it.
You joked. Any other shout-outs?
No, I just everybody have a good week this week. You know, Christmas is coming, and I know that's kind of rough for people. So, you know, buck up. We're here for you. Yes. Or Robin is, anyway. So,
Robin,
yes. Yeah, go on. Have a good week. Tanked up. Thanks for having me. And, you know, waiting for my hamster to revive itself. So, yeah.
It was a desperate few minutes where I was trying to figure out what the hell to do. And then I'm finally like, I just got to kill the Skype call. And then the stream will still be going. I don't know how I'm going to handle the recording aspect of this because that's all fucked up. But I'll figure it out one way or the other.
It was funny because I'm just sitting there rattling on about, I don't even know what the hell I was rattling on about now. And all of a sudden you like froze and I'm like, wait a minute, is that him or is that me? And then all of a sudden my chat wouldn't go through and I'm like, oh fuck, it's me.
Yeah. You started talking and I'm like, you're not hearing me, are you? And that's when I knew we were destined for a problem.
Right. Well, it's been a while. I haven't had one of those. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you for making the show, Kim. It was fun. Sure. We had a good conversation, talked some video games, talked some life, made fun of Robin, which is, again,
always fun.
Cannot do enough of that. you know, and he is such a contradiction of a person. I mean, one minute serious, you know, and then the next minute jovial. Also, his Mexican-Irish heritage, it's just always at conflict with him. Yeah. But we love Robin. We love Judith. We hope all of the family gets better and recovers from their bout with COVID. Seems like the horse dewormer is doing its job and the advice of Joe Rogan, of course, as well. Shout out to Pete, to Phil, to Mark. We love you all. We look forward to conversing soon. I think we're getting at least two of those guys onto the show next week. I could be wrong, but I think so. A shout out to you, Kim. Again, thank you for being here, for hanging out. I have to shout out to my wife. She actually delivered me a White Russian as we were on the podcast, which you can't see. Of course, I just held up for the camera. Nobody can see this.
Are you the Big Lebowski and you're just now telling us? Is that how that works?
Pretty
isn't
much.
That what he always drank was a White Russian?
Yeah. So. I love White Russians are so good. So good. But of course, then in the course of trying to figure out what the hell to do about the podcast going haywire, I spilt part of it on my desk, which I'm just eyeing this puddle of White Russian. And I'm like, do I wipe it up or do
just
I
lick it up?
Exactly. I'm like looking. I'm like, well, I could slurp that up.
So I
could,
mean, you know, if you muted yourself, you'd have been fine.
I know. Anyway, all right. Look, if you have enjoyed this podcast, I don't know why, but thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the podcast and come back next week. I'm sure things will go absolutely smoothly. There'll be no problems ever. We never have problems in this show. So come back, enjoy it. We'll talk to you then. Have a great rest of your weekend, whatever of that is left for you. On this unsettling note, go Broncos. I will talk to you later.
No, no.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.